Tonight, I want you to turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter number 24. Book of Acts, chapter number 24. And let me just say, so that it doesn't disturb anyone, we will be having more folks come in probably during this message. I know that Brother Rusty and some of the family they're having a short service up at New Victory and then heading down in this direction. And so if you hear the back doors open, don't worry about that. It'll be them just coming on in for the dedication here in just a few minutes. And we do want to get to that. And I'll be sensitive of the time. But I just felt like this week that the Lord put a message on my heart for tonight. And I feel like I need to do what the Lord has told me to do. And so you just pray for me and bear with me for just a few minutes. And I'll try my best to preach as fast as I can. Now, the folks around here know that that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But anyway, we'll do the best we can. How about that? All right. If you're in Acts chapter 24 and you'd like to stand and stretch your legs for just a second, you can. If you can't stand, we understand that. You don't have to feel like you have to. But we'll stand and stretch our legs. And I want to read two verses in chapter 24. And then I want to read a few verses in chapter 26 and take those verses and develop just a simple thought for tonight, all right? Acts 24:24 is where we'll begin reading. The Bible says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee.'" Now I want you to jump over into chapter 25 and again look at verse 24, please. The Bible says, "And Festus said, 'King Agrippa, and all the men that were here present with us, you see this man about whom all the multitude of the Jews have dealt with me, both at Jerusalem and also here, crying that he ought not to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing worthy of death and that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I determined to send him.'" I'm sorry, I'm in verse 20, chapter 25. I want to be in 26. Forgive me. Chapter 26, verse 24. I knew I was in the wrong place. Chapter 26, verse 24. It just takes me a minute sometimes. You got to bear with me. Chapter 26, verse 24. "And as he had thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, 'Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad.' But he said, 'I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him. For this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.'" Verse 24, chapter 24 and verse number 25. "Felix said, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee.' Festus says in verse 24 of chapter 26, 'Thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad.' And finally, Agrippa says in chapter 26, verse 28, 'Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian.'" I want to preach for a few minutes on the thought, three responses to the gospel. Father, help us for a few minutes, we pray. Lord, I pray that you would get me out of the way and do what I cannot do. Lord, I pray that you would speak to some soul that is hanging in the balance of eternity tonight. Lord, you know the need of this hour, and Father, I pray that you would meet that need as only you can. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. You can be seated. Amen. Over the years, I've read through and taught from these verses on several different occasions, and each time I come to these closing chapters of the book of Acts, I can't help but think of these three men and the response that each one of these men gives to the gospel message. At this time in the book of Acts, so you understand where we're at, Paul has been taken prisoner for no other reason than being a gospel preacher. The Jews would have killed Paul on the streets of Jerusalem had the Romans not stepped in and saved his life. And over the passages that we read, Paul goes from Lysias to Felix to Festus to Agrippa, and he'll finally make his way to Caesar. And he'll stand before judge after judge and man after man. And every one of them will come to the same decision. They don't know what to do with this guy. And so they just push him off and hope somebody else can figure out what to do with him. But in the process of passing Paul off from one place to another place, from one man to another man, something very remarkable happens. Each man will sit before the preacher. He will be presented the gospel message. And as a result, each man will make a decision in his own life what he will do with Jesus Christ. Now, you may not realize this, but I want you to realize something tonight. Every time an individual hears a gospel message, that individual must make a decision in their life what they will do with Jesus Christ. Now, some people think that they can push that decision away and they can hold that decision off to tomorrow. But no decision is still a decision. And every time you hear a gospel message, you are making a decision about what you are doing with your eternal soul. And every one of these men heard the message, and every one of them made a decision. When presented with the gospel, Felix, Festus, and Agrippa, all three of these men offered reasons and offered excuses of why they could not be saved. In the illustration of these three men, I cannot help but see a picture of many that sit in our churches today. They are presented with the gospel, they hear the truth of the Word of God, and then they offer an excuse and a reason why they cannot accept Jesus Christ. It is interesting to me that the three excuses that these men offer are the three excuses that, well, most people still offer every Sunday in a church across America. Tonight I want us to look at these three simple messages, these three responses, and preach on three responses to the gospel. I want us to look at these men and the poor decisions that they made, and hopefully someone will not make the same decision. I want you to see this, number one, in chapter 24. I want you to see the excuse another time. The excuse given another time. The Bible says, and Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was a Jewess, and called for Paul to hear him concerning the faith. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for a time. When I have a more convenient season, I will call for thee." The very first man that Paul is brought before is a man named Felix. Felix was a Roman governor that judged the nation of Israel. And according to the scriptures, he had been a judge in Israel for a long period of time. And because of these years judging over the Jewish people, he had undoubtedly become familiar with the Jewish religion and the Jewish way of life. In fact, verse 22 says as much. He had a perfect knowledge, verse 22 says, of that way. Felix had a knowledge of that way. What the Bible means by that way is the way of Christianity. You see, in the past several years, a new religion has come on the scene. There's been a group of men going everywhere preaching the message that Jesus Christ, who was crucified, was no longer dead, but that he had got up from the grave and that he was alive and offering salvation to all who would believe. And thousands have accepted Christ. Thousands have come to know the Lord. And they didn't know what to do with them, and they didn't know what to call them, so they just kind of pointed at them and said, "Well, it's that way." And the Bible says in verse 22 that Felix had a more perfect knowledge of that way. You see, because of his position, he knew about Christianity. He knew about the Jewish religion. There's no doubt in my mind that this man, being a judge, had heard about Jesus Christ. He knew about him. He was aware that something happened in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. He had heard about the apostles. He had seen the lives that had been changed. He had knew about what was going on. The reason I point that out is this. it is important to point out, because these men did not reject Christ because they did not understand Christ. They did not understand how to be saved. These men rejected Christ for the same reason people reject Him today. They rejected Him because of the wickedness that is in their heart. You see, people don't die and go to hell because the gospel's too complicated for them. The gospel is so simple that a child can understand it. The gospel is a very simple thing. I've watched children walk down aisles and accept Jesus Christ. It's not a hard thing. You don't die and go to hell because you did not understand. You die and go to hell because there's wickedness in your heart. And the wickedness is so great that you're unwilling to let it go. And these men knew the gospel. They knew what had been going on. And so the Bible says that Felix, this man that had this knowledge, he calls for Paul. In fact, in the passage I just read, verse 24, when he calls for Paul, he's seeing him for the second time. Paul had stood before Felix on another occasion, and Felix didn't know what to do with him, so he decided to just put him in jail and hang on to him till he could figure something out. He procrastinated on what to do with Paul, and we'll find out in just a minute that that was kind of the story of this man's life. He was a procrastinator. Felix now, for the second time in verse 24, calls for Paul. I believe that after he met with him the first time and he sent him away just to kind of figure out what he was going to do with the preacher, I believe Felix grew curious and I believe he grew concerned. Something about the testimony of that little preacher man bothered him. And he couldn't get it out of his mind. Something in that testimony said, you've got to hear this guy again. And so verse 24, he calls for him. I don't know, I'm using my imagination, but I wonder, after Felix heard from Paul the first time, I wonder if he had a hard time sleeping after that. Maybe he tossed on his bed and he just kept thinking about Jesus Christ and thinking about the preacher and thinking about eternity. I don't know. Maybe his appetite wasn't what it used to be. Nothing tasted right. Nothing seemed good to him. I wonder if he found himself having a hard time concentrating on official business. Whatever it was, this man was so troubled, he said, go get that preacher, bring him here so me and my wife can listen to him one more time. The scripture doesn't give us the entire message that Paul preached. It just gives us the 3 points. I believe Paul was a Baptist preacher. He usually had 3 points in his messages. His message was this, chapter 24, verse 25. He said he reasoned of righteousness. Number one, temperance. Number two, and judgment to come. Number three. He talked about righteousness. Do you understand that the God that we serve is a righteous God? And God in His righteousness and holiness cannot accept anything other than perfection. Anything less than perfection is not good enough. You see, your righteousness at your very best, the scripture says, is nothing but filthy rags in the eyes of God. And you say, well, preacher, I'm doing my best. I congratulate you. I'm glad that you're trying hard. You say, I'm trying to have my goods outweigh my bads. That's wonderful. We all ought to strive to do right and strive to do good. You say, I'm trying to help my fellow man. Well, that's wonderful, y'all. Your fellow man, but can I say, try as you might and work as hard as you will never work enough to please God. Amen. He dealt with him about righteousness because Felix's righteousness was not enough. It takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He dealt with him about temperance. Righteousness deals with the sins of yesterday, but temperance deals with the self-control of today. Temperance is controlling yourself. Felix could control everything but Felix. If you study the history of Felix, you'll find he was a wicked man. He would murder and kill and beat and imprison to get his way if he had to. Tried to manipulate people and manipulate situations. He could control everything, Brother Danny, but he couldn't control himself. You know what I've discovered about most folks? They can control everything but themselves. He said, you got to do something about temperance. Not just the sins of yesterday, Felix, but what about today, son? What about today? And then he looked toward the future and he said, and by the way, there's judgment coming. There is a day of judgment coming, Felix, to all. The Bible says when Paul finished his little three-point outline, Felix started shaking. The Bible says that he trembled, is what your King James Bible said. You know what Felix did? He did what I've seen a lot of people do in churches often. He grabbed a hold of the church pew until his knuckles turned white because he's afraid to go. He had probably sweat on his brow. He was breathing heavy. His heart was pounding fast. Tears were running out of his eyes. He was under old-fashioned Holy Ghost conviction is what his problem was. And the Bible says that Felix trembled under the preaching of the Word of God. And he was faced with a decision. And this is what he did. He procrastinated. He said, Paul, I'll tell you what we'll do. You go your way for now, and when it's a better time for me, I'll call for you again. He said, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll get saved tomorrow. Now, there are many people just like Felix. Yeah. They know in their minds what they need to do. God moves in their spirits and what they need to do, but they put it off to tomorrow. Let me say something right here. I don't think Felix was lying when he said, when I've got a more convenient time, I'll call for you. I think he meant what he said. I think he really meant when the time is right, when it's a better time in my life, I'll call for you again, Paul, and I'll hear you again. I think he meant that. The problem is that convenient time never came. Someone once said that procrastination is the thief of time. I submit to you that procrastination is the thief of souls. I believe there are people who are serious with God when they say, God, I cannot be saved right now. I'll be saved later, though. I believe they mean that. They're honest in their heart when they say, God, now's not a good time, but I'll do it later. The problem is that later never comes. Man that said another time. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. The day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. The wise Solomon said in Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what another day may bring forth. You understand you have no promise of tomorrow, right? You open the Knoxville News Sentinel tomorrow morning, and I promise you there'll be an obituary column. And there will be men and women, yea, even boys and girls, as you read through those names that were not expecting to enter eternity when they did. And I wonder how many people enter eternity with the hope in their heart, I'll do it another day. I'll get right with God another day. But before they realize it, eternity comes and they're unprepared. The first man, Felix, said another time. The second man is a man by the name of Festus. And he told the preacher that it was absurd that he needed to accept Jesus Christ. Chapter 26, verse 24. And as he spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. You see, Felix put Paul back into lockup. Said, I'll call for you another time. And 2 years passed by. He never called for him, Brother Danny. 2 years passed by and Felix is removed of his duties. And Festus takes over as the judge and governor in Israel at that time. In an effort to try to clean up some of the mess that Felix left behind, Festus finds out there's been a prisoner sitting there for 2 years nobody knows what to do with. And he says, well, bring him up here and I'll listen to him. Like Felix, Festus was very familiar with the Jewish religion. He was aware of the things that had been happening in Jerusalem in recent years. And like Felix, Festus would soon discover he did not know what to do with the preacher. I don't want to get too bogged down right here, but Festus hears Paul. Things don't go as he planned. Not many days after hearing Paul, the king, King Agrippa, comes to visit Festus. And he says, Agrippa, there's a man here that I don't know what to do with. I'd sure like it if you would listen to him and help me figure out what to do with this preacher that I've got in prison. And Agrippa here agrees to hear Paul. When Paul is brought before these men, instead of testifying on his own behalf, Paul one more time preaches a gospel message. And he had 3 points one more time. Verse 8, he preached on the resurrection. He said, I'm here because Jesus got up, and I keep telling everybody that he's alive. He said, that's the reason that I'm in prison. Chapter 26, verse 8, because the resurrection's why I'm here. He preached on repentance. Chapter 26, verse 20. He said that repentance might be made. Hey, he preached on, verse 23, he preached on redemption that is in Jesus Christ. He said, Jesus got up. You need to get right. And if you do, he'll save you. And he gets to the end of his message and he starts giving an invitation. And Festus speaks up and says, Paul, you are crazy. What's the matter with you? If he was in East Tennessee, he'd say, that boy done lost his mind. What's the matter with you, Paul? He's crazy. Now, I've studied this for many years. I don't think that Festus believed that Paul was crazy. He was about to send him to Caesar Augustus. You don't send a crazy man before Caesar. You just put him in, you know, prison somewhere and you... But you don't send him to Caesar. He didn't think that the preacher was crazy. Why he said what he said was because there was something deep inside of him that was bothering him. He was troubled by what he was hearing. And when he got troubled in his soul about the gospel message, it tore him up inside. I'm sure y'all have seen this, especially those of you who have kids or grandkids. You can see something, you know, messed up in the kitchen or messed up in the house that's not supposed to be messed up. Maybe a lamp got broken. And you say to your spouse, your husband, your wife, you say, what in the world happened to this lamp? And you know what will happen? One of those darling, precious children of yours will say, I don't know why you keep talking about that lamp. It wasn't me. You know what happened? They got defensive because there's something inside of them bothering them. And Festus said, Paul, you're a wild man. You're a crazy man. You're beside yourself. He didn't believe that. He was bothered. Can I say that there are many people who try to put on the same facade that Festus tried to put on? They'll say things like this, God may be okay for your life, but I don't need him in mine. You know better than that. I don't know, preacher. I don't know if I even believe that God is real. Oh, you know better than that. Let me say, there are no atheists on the other side of eternity, by the way. I'm too busy for church right now, preacher. I've got more important things to do. Religion's just a crutch for the simple-minded anyways. When Festus yells forth, Paul, you're beside yourself. Paul responds in the next few verses and he says, no, nothing's wrong with me. In fact, everything that I've told you is truth, and the things that I've told you weren't done in a corner. He said, there's evidence to back up what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying is truth. Festus knew the preacher was right. That's the thing that bothered him so much. Do you know why people get so tore up when you tell them about God, when they hear a message like this? You know why people get so tore up? They get tore up because the message is hitting them right here. Let me help you out. Let me help you out so you can know whether you're tore up over this message or not. If you're sitting there thinking, bless God, I come here for a baby dedication. I don't know what he thinks he's doing up there. Who's he think he is preaching to me like that? It's not me bothering you, friend. It's the truth bothering you. Felix said another time, Festus said absurd, and Agrippa said almost. Chapter 26, verse 27, Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. The outburst of Felix does not stop Paul. Paul simply turns his attention to King Agrippa and he asks him if he believes. When Paul asks him the question, do you believe? He responds with probably, in my mind, the most tragic statement or one of the most tragic statements in all of your Bible. His response is almost. Do you believe, sir? Do you believe? Almost. Agrippa is a picture of someone who knows all about God, knows all about the church, knows all about the Bible. Agrippa is well informed. Chapter 26, verse 2 says as much. He had all the knowledge, he had all the information he needed, but he never comes to a place in his life where he puts that knowledge into action. There are many people that know about God. They've been raised in church, raised around church. They can tell you the story of Jonah in the well. They can quote you John 3:16. They maybe even went through some sort of ritual like baptism or joining a church. They know all the right stuff. They know it. They know it. Amen. But they've never been saved. They almost got there. Allow me to say tonight that salvation is so simple. Salvation is so simple. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 9 simply states that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. People don't go to hell because the gospel's too difficult for them. They go to hell because they don't act on what they know is right. Amen. I'm growing more and more convinced. Growing more and more convinced that there are people all across the South, right here in the Bible Belt, where we grow up with religion. We grow up, you know, around church. Everybody either goes to church or granny goes to church or, you know, the aunt and uncle go to church. Almost everybody has a Bible in their home. You can't help but flip through the radio stations. You'll hear gospel preacher if you flip long enough. And we've got people that have grown up around this way. And they think because they've grown up around it and they've heard it and they've seen it and it's just kind of always been a part of their life that they're okay. But although they've been around it, heard it and all that for so long, there's never been a time and a place in their life where they have knelt before God and they have said for themselves, God, I am a sinner, save me. I'm convinced of it more and more all the time. Salvation, simple. You come, you ask, He saves. I mean, just like that. We make it so complicated, but that's all it is. And I'm not talking about somebody who comes to God and asks God and then they later doubt it and question it. I'm talking about there's so many people that have never asked God to save them. Amen. They're the almost crowd. Almost. Brother Scott, if you read the scriptures, Agrippa looks at Paul. He says, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And he stands up and he walks off the pages of the Bible, never to be heard from again. There's no doubt in my mind that as we sit in this building tonight, Felix, Festus, and Agrippa or all three in hell. One said, I'll do it another time, but another time never came. One said, this is not for me, but it was for him, and he knew it. And the other had all the knowledge, and he almost got there. But he never for himself said, Jesus, save me. And I wonder as we bow our heads and we close our eyes, Brother Scott, if you'll get me a song of invitation, I would appreciate it. I don't know why. I really don't know why on a night like tonight, baby dedication we're about to go into, why the Lord said preach this message, but he did. And I fought it and I struggled it for most of the week. But this is where the Lord has brought us to, and you've been presented the gospel. You have been presented Jesus Christ, and now it is up to you what you will do with what you've heard. But make no mistake about it, friend. You will make a decision tonight. If there's somebody who needs to be saved, we'll pray with you while he sings.